Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mama. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get outraged. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us.
Alrighty, it is the Brothers for Real radio show. We are here every Friday at every Tuesday, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. We are discussing real issues with real brothers. That's right, we are actually real blood brothers. But you don't have to be a blood brother to join us. But you do have to be real. We talk about the real issues that affect you. What's happening on the national scene, what's happening at grassroots level, what's happening politician-wise, spiritual-wise, health-wise, education-wise, business-wise, financial-wise, or just wise-wise. You don't have to be a brother, gotta be real. Brothers are Joseph Gatewood, Robert Gatewood, Leon Gatewood, and Curtis Gatewood. We are broadcasting live from the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Pull up a chair, tell somebody, share it. Go to marketing, go to our blog, brothersforreal.com, to find out more about the links and the Facebook page, the Instagram page, Twitter page. We are all over the internet. I'm Robert Gatewood. And I'm hosting along with my brother, Ron Frere, and a few other languages I can't navigate. Hey, brothers, welcome to the show.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
What's up, brothers? How y'all doing tonight?
Robert G.
Y'all full of turkey over there? Y'all eat some turkey?
That's a long time ago.
I had turkey last night, so I... Hey, shoot, I probably have some more tonight, so.
Yeah, leftovers, buddy.
Yeah, man, leftovers. That's right, Jack. Leftovers. You know, the everything now has become political. And, of course,
yeah.
The Thanksgiving is no exception. And but for
no,
good reason.
Right.
But, you know, it's only a problem when it starts to favor us, right? As long as everything is over there favoring a different population, everything is cool and hunky-dory. But
that's
the
right.
Minute the shift starts to come back, we might accidentally get a benefit or somebody recognizes our contribution or that maybe the story wasn't told quite the way it should have been told. Out come the tiki torches and Trump tweeting and everybody else.
That's right.
What do you think, guys?
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
What do you think,
Amen,
guys?
Amen, brother.
So anyway, we're gonna talk about a lot of things tonight. Tell you some of the things that we are gonna talk about. And see Joseph just joined us. Welcome, Joseph.
Hey, Manya.
Maybe that's not Joseph. Okay. So 704 number. We got listeners on the line as well. So anybody who's listening, we will take an occasional pause, and right before the break is a chance for you to jump in while we're gathering our thoughts, and we will hold the line until our listeners, if they have some input or some commentary, by all means, you don't have to be a brother to join us, but you do have to be real. Just quick, I'm going to throw out some of these topics tonight we're going to talk about. We might not get to them all, but we're just talking here. Here's a story. Here's something we need to be watching that on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, that gun sales hit a new high. People are buying guns like it's nobody's business. What in the world are people going to do with all these guns? So hold that thought. Now, this is a little old, but it still kind of gives me the eebie-jeebies when I hear it. That LaDavid Johnson, we had his wife's voice on the show a few Tuesdays back, where she was saying, "Hey, I don't listen to that coffin." Well, then about a few days ago, they said they found some remains of LaDavid Johnson's remains. My first reaction was,
That's right.
What happens when you find remains of remains?
Right.
That's
remains of remains. Wow.
Something not right
there.
That's
a big concern.
That's a big concern. So we got that out there. We got John Conyers is stepping down from the head of the committee. He was heading, and some of his accusers are still coming forward, and some people are trying to get him to resign altogether. So we might talk about Brother Conyers. Now here's another one that has some of the ew factor. Man, all you ladies out there who are going to these lipstick counters, trying on those lipstick samples. Well, they've done some tests, and they're finding out that some of those samples are full of staph, E. coli, bacteria. And you know what E. coli basically is, right? It's like, you don't want to know.
People still wear lipstick, man. Women still wear lipstick.
Yeah, well, they might not after this. After this, they might not be wearing anymore. But you go to those counters where you see the little, they have the little lipsticks. I never thought about it until I saw the this documentary. They have the little tubes already open, and they go up there and just, there's a nice color, bright red, and you wipe it on their lips and stick it back in the counter, in the container. Wow. Well, now they're finding out that people have been spreading E. coli on their lips.
Oh, man.
Wow. I'm trying to compose myself over here when I hear about this. Y'all, pardon me. I'm back. Sorry about that. Had to take a quick break. But anyway, so those are some of the things we're going to talk about, guys. We're going to do things a little differently tonight. Instead of having a one topic, I'm just going to go around the room and let the brothers pick either one of these topics to expound upon. And you can also do commentary and ask questions to the other brothers. Or if you have a topic that you want to bring up on your own. So we got the Black Friday gun sales. People are buying guns to beat the ban. Why are people buying all these guns? What's up with LaDavid Johnson? What are they finding more remains of this brother after a week after he's been buried? Now, how do you shake that off? You done buried your husband. Now he's still bringing him back in pieces. John Conyers, should he go? Should he stay? I'm not sure if anybody wants to talk about this lipstick thing, but anyway, it's out there. And here's one for you history buffs and politicians. Time Magazine is on the block, it's on the auction block. And from what all indications look like, the Cook brothers are the interested buyer. There is so much to unwrap there, it should scare the heck out of anybody who believes in a free press, monopoly of the press, fairness doctrine, all the things that pertain to press, liberty, freedom, and the sustaining of a democracy. This should concern people. But first of all, we're going to get the brothers to go around the room and introduce yourselves. Give me your quick pitch. Now, we've gotten you don't have to give us the long version. Give us a quick just so everybody will know who's in the studio. And just let everybody know who you are quickly. I'm going to start with Joseph. Welcome, Joseph. Joseph's still not here. I keep seeing these 704 numbers. My bad. Okay, let's start with Leon.
Hey, Robert. Hey, Curtis. How y'all doing, man?
Hey, good, brother. How you doing, brother?
Hey. Man, y'all not have me muted again, do you?
Yeah, we hear you.
Hey, man. You were messing us up last time, Leon. You were messing us up, brother. I was losing my what two hairs I have left on my head. Every time you were talking, that vibration, that echo would come in. I'd pull out another hair. But anyway, you sound good tonight. Welcome.
Here's what I want to talk about. Anyway, my name is Leon, and I'm number 11 in the family. And I'm tell you what's interesting today. You know, when I first got out of Livingston, I did 5 years of insurance with North Carolina Mutual. And one of my buddies, well, as a matter of fact, my manager dropped by, the guy that was my manager when I worked for North Carolina Mutual, dropped by the house today, and he's sitting in here in my little studio tonight with me as I talk.
Get out
Arthur Lockhart. Yeah, man, y'all are here. Just here for Arthur Lockhart, man.
Arthur Lockhart. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Well, I want to go right quick is with the Representative Conyers thing, man. It's so crazy, this stuff that's going on with all of this and how inconsistent it's turning out to be. And I'm going to say that because...
Leon, you're trying to start something here now. What do you mean inconsistent? Go ahead, bro.
And I'm going to say inconsistent because you got the guy that... I'm just got to go here. I got to go straight to this. You got the guy that's the President of the United States who none of these guys have really done any more than he has done. You know, I just got to go there for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because all of it right now is like accusations.
Right.
Is that correct? Yeah, that's right.
Except for maybe Franken, but most of everything else is basically accusations.
We got a couple of tracks going. We got the Hollywood track going, where you've had quite a few admissions.
Right, that is true.
And Franken kind of straddled the fence. He's politics and Hollywood. He didn't have a choice.
Right.
I guess.
Franken has got pictures out there with his hands in the cookie jar.
We got Trump on tape, both having evidence. That's no shooting that is going to be admitted. So anyway, go ahead, Leon.
I'm just going to go that now. Like, you know, it always turns out we are the fall guy. You know, it just bothers me. Like, I'm getting ready to get Conyers. I'm here now. It's Conyers on his way out. He's going to have to resign. It's all that. It's just so inconsistent, and it's so crazy.
That's right.
I just don't even know how to feel about it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna chime in, Curtis, and you can join in also. I look at it this way. We're at a very difficult, and you know, people are ambivalent because you don't want to appear as insensitive to the plight of the women. Because I've had this ambivalence going all the way back to Mike Tyson and the young Washington lady. I wasn't one of the ones who was saying, go, go, Mike Tyson, go, go, go. I was really, I was probably more empathizing with the young lady who'd been assaulted.
Right.
And so we constantly have to do this evaluation. And I think what we have to do is to put away the broad brush and
listen to
the merits of each case. What do you think, Curtis?
And that's always been my point. And I think Leon is on to something there. Everything that pertains to, people have to listen to exactly what is being said in each case.
Mm-hmm.
You are right about avoiding that broad brush. Because another thing people need to understand, there is a difference between an allegation and a charge. See, sometimes a person can come out with a sexual harassment allegation, and anybody can have an allegation put on them at any time. All someone has to do is say it, and that's an allegation. So we have to make sure we're differentiating allegations versus some type of due process that might have taken place and found a person to have been either confessed to something, or there might have been compelling evidence such as in the Trump case, like Leon is saying, he's on video. He's on actual video saying he's actually telling how he sexually harasses and sexually assaults women. He's saying it. And that's a difference in somebody saying, you've been accused. Because, like I said, you could destroy a whole lot of reputations by just, if we're going to allow that, the lady saying it, being the thing that can destroy a person's reputation and cause them to resign, then we're going to have some problems, because the next time you have a shining star rising like a President Obama, all you got to do is put a word out there, say he did this or did that. And it's going to create that cloud over his or her head. And so we have to really make sure that we take each of these cases, weigh the merit, be very careful not to throw out the person being innocent until proven guilty. I know sometimes we get so political we want to say, even in the case of Roy Moore, I think we have enough on his record as a serving officer to not get too caught up in the woods about the allegations. He has not performed in a way that is moral in his role as an elected official based upon his policies and so many other things. And we also have to be very careful. Okay, go ahead, Robert. Yeah.
Well, and I hear what you're saying, and what I'm hearing from the electorate, from the accusers, from the backers, is that it's almost become an environment now where the accusation is all that it takes. Now, this is what I'm doing, and I can't speak for anybody else, but I consider myself a jury of one, and I look at each case. I have gone through each case. I've looked at the number of accusers. I've looked at the nature of the offense. Was it physical? Could it be corroborated? Were there witnesses? And I have gone through the list. Now, the good and the bad of it is that in just about every case, after I went through the whole list, I said just about every one of them was guilty. I'm sorry. That's why you don't have to jump to conclusions. The evidence will, in most cases, incriminate, because when you've got corroborating witnesses, you've got people that don't even know each other coming from different parts of the country. You have people with nothing to gain, no axe to grind. You have people within your party accusing you. Then you have to really say, look, go ahead, Curtis.
Robert, you just said a very important thing. When we say multiple witnesses, it's not necessarily a sign of guilt. The reason why in our history, all of the lynchings, a lot of the lynchings that took place, many of them were pertaining to lies about a black man being aggressive toward a white woman. And sometimes those cases would be based upon whether it was the case of Emmett Till or whomever, somebody making the allegation, and then someone claiming to corroborate or witness. And so you made a very important observation when you said people who don't even know each other. Because I know for a fact, and I've seen this as a civil rights activist, where a man comes onto a job, in this particular case, doing a good job, coming in, cleaning up, making sure people come to work on time, holding everybody to the letter, and people didn't like it. So all it took was a person in that group to say, he sexually harassed me.
And all you need is one corroborator.
Exactly. And one of those people in that group who was also angry because that person holding me accountable in a way, making me come to work on time, making me do reports that I've been having to do. That's a way that sometimes a person can have a multiple accuser, even if that person is innocent. So my thing is, by you measuring each case like you were, those are things to consider. People coming from places that don't even know each other, people who are coming in, and, you know, so you're doing the right thing by having a way of finding out how legitimate this is without destroying a person's reputation or a person's credibility based upon a conspiracy against that individual.
All right, folks, we're talking about the John Conyers. He's being asked to step down by members of his party. He has multiple accusers. Some have said he has paraded in front of them in his underwear. Some have said he has caressed their hands. Some have said that he has, one lady didn't accuse him of any sexual impropriety. She simply said that he was just a bad guy to work for. He berated her. He belittled her. He criticized her. She said he's just a bad dude.
Rob, hey, hold on.
Yeah,
Kanye didn't do that. He didn't parade lately. You know, he didn't do that lately. I'm just saying, you know, the parade lately in front of somebody in his underwear. How old is the brother? About 88?
He's pushing 90. He's pushing 90 years old. Hey, guys, look, we done got down into the weeds here. Let me finish introducing everybody. But, Leon, that was your topic, and you got us going there, brother. Curtis, since you already have the floor, go ahead and let people know who you are. And we have quite a few listeners tonight, and welcome to all of our new listeners. You're listening to Brothers for Real. If you care to join the conversation, you can call also at 646-787-1967. We are four brothers. We're actually real brothers discussing real issues in the realest way. Leon got us going here today talking about John Conyers, and Curtis has chimed in as well as myself. We're going to have Joseph joining us in a moment. And Curtis, by all means, take the floor and left. Give everybody a quick introduction on who you are.
Yes, first of all, I want to thank Robert. Robert, you do a great job at this. I don't know if I get
thank
a chance
you,
to tell you. I like the way you do this, and you help to make sure that we stay on topic. You're a good host, and we appreciate what you're doing. To my
brother
Joseph in his absence, may God bless him. I pray that he safely is on his way. He's also another fountain of wealth. Leon, my brother, God bless you. But I'm glad to be on this program with my great brothers who are really not just about talking but walking. I'm Curtis Gatewood. I'm the 12th child. They're just two younger than I am from a family of 14. I'm actually on my way back from a press conference held by the Harney County NAACP, where I was invited as my role in the Stop Killing Us Solutions campaign, whereby there was a video that was recently released by the police department here in Harney County. It wasn't released by the police department. It was actually released by the media, WRAL. In fact, had they had to depend on the police department to release it, it would have never been released. But it has to do with a young man. I'll just refer to him as Mr. Jackson for now. And he was pulled over, and the police he never did figure out why we were pulling him over from the beginning. But anyway, he was getting ready to let him go. And then just as he was getting ready to pull off, the officer said, "I smell marijuana. Get out of the car." But he was already pulling off, and he went on to pull off, and the police, of course, jumped in behind him. And so they pulled him over a second time. And in the video, you see him get out of the car, put his hands up, sit down on the ground. And then the next part of the video, you see him handcuffed on the ground, and one of the officers just walk over and kick him. And so these are the types of issues that I'm addressing now, Robert, and I appreciate your being a part of the kickoff of Stop Killing Us, generational movement, as a part of a civil rights activist for several years, working my way up through the NAACP. I think God has called me to focus on one of the main issues facing this generation, and that is police accountability or the lack thereof. And so I'm on my way back, and that's the case that we just had a press conference with the local president here in Harney County, Carolyn P. McDougal. She is also the second vice president of the North Carolina NAACP. And I just appreciate her inviting me to be one of her main speakers to address this issue. And I want to say to everyone around the country, we have solutions. We have solutions. As a Stop Killing Us campaign, we have an 18-point list of solutions that I were able to point right. There hadn't been a case yet where I couldn't go right to one of the points on our list that would address
right.
it. We have something on there to deal with when a suspect is already in handcuffs. If that person is kicked or hit in any way, that police fired and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And that's what they were doing. They were calling on the resignation of this police officer. And I could just come in and just add right to the facts, already have them written out. And the same thing happens almost in any case. The Stop Killing Us solutions and what they're referred to as the Stop Killing Us universal standards for law enforcement, you could go to our website, Justice Ministration, JusticeMinistration.com, Justice Ministration, and pull up universal standards for police, for law enforcement. I'm going to say
okay.
this, Robert, and then I'm going to move on. These points are going to be a demand that the people of the United States of America can rally around. And when we start kneeling and making sure that people are paying attention on the issues of police accountability, we have actual points that if the law enforcement community would put in place, it could stop the killings overnight. And so we are going to start promoting those points. Everywhere I go, I'm going to start promoting those universal standards. I want to try to get them in legislation. I want to try to get everybody in the civil rights community familiar with those points because they are on point.
Well, let me say this, Curtis, and I appreciate that. Curtis has he was correct. He kicked off his SKU campaign up here in the Washington D.C. right outside the Department of Justice, and I was honored to be there, kind of holding the camera for him and videoing. It's actually on his website page, and I think it's on mine as well. It has this speech, and we had a good outpouring of people. And the thing that I appreciate about what Curtis is doing is that people always accuse people in the movement of being all about talk. But when it comes down to putting some substantive, concrete steps and demands in place, we usually come up short. And so Curtis has taken that off the table. He laid it out in black and white. You don't have to scratch your head, hey, get back to me next week, or, hey, let's go meet about it. Let's pull a committee together. Because that's usually what happens. Everybody do our little margin and fizz in there and get the little T-shirt and go home.
Dr. King referred to that, Robert, Dr. King referred to that as the paralysis of analysis. We keep talking about the problem and not coming up knowing what the solutions are and acting on the solutions.
Yeah, they say, what do they say? Been there, done that, got the T-shirt and the hat. Let me tell you, folks, solutions, that they won't fit on a hat and a cup and a T-shirt. Somebody's got to sit down and put some brain power behind it. And Curtis has done that. And I do see that those steps and suggestions and points will be finding their way across not only the Internet, but in front of some legislators' hands, some civil rights movement's hands, some police department's hand, and they're probably already looking at it, Curtis. They just haven't told you yet. They're at a loss, too. They're saying, why does this keep happening? Somebody is saying, well, look, maybe this guy over here has something we should take a look at. And, you know, they have a history of not telling you when they actually take your advice because it makes them look weak. But we don't care how
they
do it. If they want to sneak it out in the middle of the night or even put their name
That's right.
Stop
killing
us. That's the bottom.
Exactly. They want to come back and say, this is what we came up with. And as long as they will implement it, we don't need the credit for it. We just need people to stop killing us.
That's all, yes. Joseph, are you there yet? I'm going to try Joseph one more time.
Joseph. I just spoke with Joseph. He's not going to call in this afternoon. Matter of fact,
okay.
They had a little situation with Mom, but she's okay now. But
Mom, okay.
He's gonna be with Mom the rest of the evening.
Okay, well that's good. I'm glad you know that Mom is in good hands, and I just really appreciate the fact that your brothers down there taking good care of Mom. I'm way up here in the other side of the world, but I never lose a night's sleep wondering if she's in good, capable, and loving hands. And so I have been doing everything I can to help support, but I know there's nothing like being there, and I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I really appreciate that. Joseph, put a hat off, hats off to Joseph, and we'll catch him next time. And also, anybody on the line who wants to chime in on any of the topics, we're going to give you back a 3 seconds of silence. Just your mic is unmuted, and if not, we'll keep moving. This is a moment for the artist to participate. And we're going 1, 2, and 3. All right. What we're going to do next is and by the way, I'm Robert Gatewood. I am the host. I host this along with my brothers, Joseph, Leon, and Curtis. My company is Gatewood Marketing. I am a business developer by trade. I help companies in the web, social media, digital marketing, traditional grassroots marketing, content writing, all of that good stuff. People come to me if they want a marketing plan, a business plan, put a business together, nonprofit together. I had a very, very busy month last month, and this month is, December is going to be pretty much a busy month as well. I have a radio show on Radio 1 every Friday called The Marketing Pulpit. I've been doing that now for about going on 8 years. The show was named Marketing Pulpit to honor my dad. He passed away about a few weeks before the show went on the air, and Marketing Pulpit now has become Marketing Pulpit International. We have 10 radio shows across the country, and Brothers for Real is one such show on the Marketing Pulpit platform. I'm also an adjunct professor at Prince George's College, and I just like to talk. So if you haven't picked that up by now, you should. That I was the quiet one in the family, so I guess I'm trying to get it all out now. What is it? Better late than never. All that repressed silence now is coming out. So I'd like to thank my brothers, Leon and Curtis, for everything they do. Leon has the big holler center down there. He didn't talk about it tonight because I said be quick, but I can't say enough about what he's doing for the kids down there. He talked about the Messiah tribe and how are the children? That's a question we should always ask no matter how busy we get, how big we get, how many sales we make, how many souls we save, how many stores we put up, how many bills we pass. We should always come back and say, how are the children going to be affected by this? And I'll be the first one to say that much of the legislation that's happening right now, right before our eyes, is actually going to have a negative impact on our children. So we're going to need more people like Leon stepping up to the plate and people joining him and supporting him in his cause. What we're going to do quickly is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tackle some of these other issues. We are going to keep the phones open. The line is 746-787-1967. So if you have anything you want to join with, we're going to talk about some of these many topics that just keep coming up. This has been a year for, I guess, the bazaar. The stock market has gone crazy again. It's had a new high today. I think it hit 255 points, setting a new record. We're seeing this at the same time. Some of our most precious and vulnerable citizens are having a hard time. Our elderly, our young people, it's going crazy, folks. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tackle some of these issues. This is the Brothers for Real. I'm Robert Gatewood. So hang on, and we'll be right back in a moment. shows on Brothers for Real. On Monday morning, we have Sharon Bennett out of Charlotte, North Carolina. We have Mr. Dennis Chipman out of New York on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, we have attorney Tisha Hillman talking about family law. On Friday evenings, we have Ray Razor doing the Sight and Disability Show. He's talking about things for the disabled. On Saturdays, we have Coach Keith Howard. He's talking about the End Zone at his sports show. Also on Radio 1, we have attorney T.J. Hillman is also on Radio 1. We have therapist Wena Cullins talking about some of the mental issues that are facing us. We have accountant philosophy, Yil Bugsy. She comes on the third Friday of every month. On the fourth Friday, we have Coach Chris Arad talking about business coaching. We also have Anthony Griggs, former Pittsburgh Steeler. He has a show out of Pittsburgh. And if I missed anybody, I'm having a hard time keeping up. We have so many shows now. But the theme and mission of all the shows is to build economic empowerment in our community, building strong businesses, putting people to work, so that we can just stop complaining about how other communities are doing better than we are. We have to take responsibility and build our own businesses, support our own businesses, and tackle these issues on our own. It's okay to hold the government accountable and industry accountable and churches accountable, but it actually starts within yourself. You have to motivate, mobilize people around you, set a good example, and you'll see things start to happen. With the Brothers for Real, if you want to join us, call us at 646-787-1967. We were talking about, let me tell you two disturbing things that have happened in the last week. And I can assure you folks, as a student of history, these are not coincidental. The first one was this Black Friday gun sales broke a new record. People bought more guns on this past day after Thanksgiving. Now, we thinking turkey out here going out spending money in the malls and fighting over flat screen TVs. While others have a different agenda, they are stockpiling weapons. There's about, I think there's enough guns for everybody in the country to have about two guns. There's more guns than there are actually people to shoot the guns. I mean, that just tell you how crazy it is. And you think that since there are so many guns already, why do you need to sell 200,000? There was 200,000 plus background checks issued by the FBI, because when you buy a gun, you have to go through a background check. So that's how they're determining. Now, these weren't necessarily gun sales, but it was 200,000, like 200,000 plus people actually filed to get gun permits, according to the FBI. That's 200,000 more guns on top of the millions that we already have out there floating around. So you're saying to yourself, some of these folks are new gun buyers, but some are actually adding to the stockpile. Now, the other thing that's happening at the same time, Time magazine is about to be sold, and Time has been literally, pretty much a straight down the road. They haven't been too left or too right. They've been kind of pretty much of a mainstay, they kind of cater to the winds of the country. So if the country is kind of like 50-50, they're going to be kind of 50-52. Now, that used to be the same way we had the radio stations used to be. There was a thing called the Fairness Doctrine, where if you ever there, a conservative person came on the air talk, you had to bring on a liberal and give them equal time. Well, Ronald Reagan did away with that, as well as he did away with this rule that you couldn't buy but so many radio stations as an individual, because you're talking about now creating a monopoly, not only antitrust monopoly laws, but you're also going against the Fairness Doctrine, because if one political state owns all the stations, like we do now with Rupert Murdoch and Fox, then we're going to have unfair and unbalanced reporting. So now you got, on one hand, you got people buying guns like crazy. You got another hand where another, they call it press the fourth estate. In other words, it's the only business that's protected by the Constitution under the First Amendment. Well, if you can't destroy the First Amendment, what you can do is buy it. And that's what happened first with radio stations, TV stations. Now we're starting with magazine, with the print. this is exactly what happened during the Third Reich under Adolf Hitler. First of all, they attacked the press. They got rid of the press. They brought in a guy, Joseph Goebbels, who was like a marketing mastermind to make sure that they got out their propaganda and that there was nothing to impede them. The second thing they did is turn people against each other. They had to demonize somebody, and then once you demonize everybody, you get all these crazies riled up, then you go on a killing spree. We also saw this. This is not just exclusive to white populations. We saw the same thing happen in Rwanda, where the Tutsi people were slaughtered by the Hutus, and the same thing happened. They didn't go out and buy guns. They handed out machetes, and so in that case, about 800,000 Hutus. I mean, 800,000 Tutsis were slaughtered by Hutus. But the first thing they did, they propagandized. They called them cockroaches. And so right before the slaughter, there was this great big outpouring of, you know, these guys are cockroaches. You need to get rid of them. And all they did was a spark. And once that spark came, they had the weapons. The meals served the inspiration to go out and do it and the motivation. Next thing you know, you had a slaughter on your hand. So I'm just the guy that studies history. I've seen this playbook before. So what we have to do as people is, that's where I'm going to throw it out to you, brother. Leon, go ahead. Give you a first shot at it.
Well, Robert,
take any piece
here's
of
my thing. Here's my thing on this, though. I'm going to kind of jump the problem and kind of jump getting into what we could do to be a solution. Like what you're doing is a solution or a remedy to or a counterattack to them, the people controlling the media. You know what? We have to, we have to control some media. You know what I mean?
We have
to get into what you're doing here. We have to get into putting our word out or our opinions out because, you know, what you're doing here is one of the most powerful things imaginable. You know, if we get into it, we just start. Tune them out. Yes, sir.
Well, Leon, I'm going to tell you, and this is not to pat myself on the back, but I've always felt that don't complain about something you have the power to change. And I've been harping about this this monopolization of the press by the conservative movement. There's about 2,000 talk show radio stations in the country, about 2,000 talk shows, and only about 200 of them are actually what we call progressive or liberal leaning. And so that means the other, 90% are constantly spewing right-wing dogma or propaganda. And in some cases, you can't even get a liberal station. You go to these truck stops, you go into these certain stores, you ever go to a store now, you're sitting there, you say, why is Fox on every station I go to? Every place where there seems to be a public television is playing Fox. And so people are getting this constant dose of Fox. They got old Hannity up there. You got this person. You got that person. They're just spewing out this, their Donald Trump propaganda machine. And a lot of it's ignorance, misinformation. And so, Leon, you have said something. What you said was correct. Everybody can do something. We have to look inward. We have to look in the mirror. Everybody doesn't have to start a radio show, but you can support the ones that do. You can support the businesses in our community. You can mentor a child. You can find an area where you have a specialty or a passion and do something. And if you want to come on this airwaves and talk about it and let us help you promote it, then that's why we are here. What say you, Curtis?
Hey, Robert. Again, thank you. And Leon, thank you for that. Your history analysis is very relevant because if you also look at the lynchings and the killings and the actual wiping out of a whole community, whether it was Tulsa or whether taking over Wilmington in 1898 or, you know, those things would start on a lie. And they would have a media source that would have to put the lie out there where other racist or racist sympathizers would get it. And that we've often been duped by the media with that would tell his story, not history,
right.
but
right.
his story. And we also need to look at something. Sometimes God is letting you know something. I like to always use the analogy of the hens in the hen house being told news by the fox.
Mm-hmm.
So you got fox news telling the news to the hens in the hen house. And then God mm-hmm. has another way of showing you. CNN ain't much better because their main anchor is Wolf. Wolf Blitzer. So sometimes those names, they may not have meant to do
telling.
But you got the hen looking at the fox, and then it'll go from the fox to the wolf, trying to get their news. And overlooking sources like yours and other people in our community who can be trusted by telling the facts or telling news in a way where it's not presented in a way where it was try to feed into the perception of black inferiority and white supremacy. So it is, Leon is absolutely right about the thing about doing something about it is supporting black media sources. And also, I would like to just send a message out. Now I'm speaking from my Justice Administration hat. Justice Administration is basically pulled together to help to get churches and the faith community engaged in the community. Being the acronym for Justice being the acronym for Jesus Uniting Souls to increase community engagement. We would like to use that particular platform as an umbrella and a source whereby if a minister or church would like to have scripture or presentations that can relate to scripture that would engage or spark engagement in their local communities, then we can help to do that because we have to use every foundation at our disposal that God has provided for us as a source of educating. It's okay to educate our people on scripture through Bible study and all the other sources that we use for the Bible, but we have to also be able to connect the Bible and its scripture to current events and how it can be, how that same source of faith can build engagement as well as educating. It would be great if every church had at least maybe some point in that service, if it's not but for cutting down a little bit of the praise service, to have a community announcement about something that's going on in the community that the church members should be aware of. Those types of things, using those types of platforms, not to take away from the preaching and the hooping and all that's going to come, but at somewhere during that service and during that that experience that our people can walk away knowing this took place and it should concern people who are concerned about the poor and the oppressed.
Curtis, you and Leon both gave some very good solutions because I think sometimes everybody needs to read guy who wrote the Art of War. You have to know your enemy. You can't beat your enemy when you don't know your enemy.
Right.
And you don't have to mimic your enemy. Now, the enemy, if they have all this media that we call Fox and CNN and MSNBC, we have the church. Now, that's one thing that we have. I think that's our underutilized tool.
That's not the only thing we own now.
Right.
That's the only thing we own now. All of our businesses are going down the tubes. I mean, you got to use that source to get them back. You got to use that source to get the businesses back. You got to use those sources to educate on what's going on when Trump and all these people are out doing this stuff. And at some point, we're going to have to demand that Trump resign. And we're going to have to come with that demand with some power behind it, saying if he does not resign, this is what we are going to do. We're going to not shop between Black Friday all the way up through Christmas. We're going to have a few things that we are going to do to make sure that we not tolerate evil people in high places and evil principalities that are serving as a platform to kill and to steal and to destroy.
Well, see that brings up another topic, and we're not going to get into it in depth today, but we have resources, and that's something I have talked about often on any of the shows or any platform that I get. That's even something I tell anybody who are listening, whether it's my daughter or youngsters or people who work for me. We have to be resourceful. You can't, when you're fighting a battle, you can't, if you have a bigger adversary and they have bigger a bigger feet than you, and he's just going around stomping people, then you're not going to out-stomp him. You got to find a way to use that stomp against him. You put a piece of glass or something on the ground, or put a spear or something. So when he does that stomping, it's going to actually bounce. It's going to actually hurt him more than help him. So we have tools in our community. Now, of course, when we use platforms like this, we are going toe to toe. We are putting our force against their force. But we have the ace in the hole, which is our church, and I think the church has been underutilized. Now, a lot of people feel like, well, you know, let's leave the church out of this because that's something else. But we are in a different time. Look
yes,
at
we
what
are.
The evangelicals are doing for Donald Trump.
Right.
Are they sitting on the sideline? No, they're not. They're actually
not
supporting
at all.
This guy, and they're actually becoming his biggest
exactly.
cheerleader. So that's a big tool that I think is underutilized, and I think if we, Curtis, some of the platform that he has put forth, some of the suggestions that he has put forth, I think if we approach the ministers and people, anybody who has a big audience, and really point out how this is going to benefit them. That's selling
right.
marketing 101.
Right.
This is going to benefit you, one, because you're not going to have any parishioners if they're all being shot down in the street. That's first thing.
Right.
It's not going to do you. Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, and the thing about it is what God provided for us, Robert, is he provided some precedent, clear examples of how it can be done. One very thing, one major thing that we need to never forget is the Montgomery boycott, where churches and ministers and people, they had 100% participation. We've seen it done. And they made the mighty giant of the Montgomery transit system that nobody would have ever thought would ever listen to a Negro. They made that transit system come to its knees. And so it's not like we're talking about something that hasn't been done or can't be done or, you know, it's been done. Whether we go all the way back to Moses or we go back to the Hebrew boys or whether we want to go back to David who used stones, but the giant can come down if we would utilize these platforms of faith. And I would go as far as saying this as a minister, it is a blasphemy to God to not allow his gospel and his mission serve the poor and the oppressed. Anyone who suppresses God's mission and Jesus' ministry, clearly he lays it out in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord upon me, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovering sight to the blind or the misinformed, and to set at liberty them that are oppressed. That's Jesus talking. And so Jesus laid out what he wanted. And so to just act like church is just about church, it's not.
That's right. Jesus was an activist. He was an activist. Now, Curtis, I mean, Leon, now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I have to come to you because I know that when we look at the children, we generally think in terms of a long-term solution. We look at a kid as, you know, 7 or 8 years old. You're like, well, you're not going to be much good in the struggle right now. But what do you think some of the things that people should be doing right now to either prepare children, to help them, because we can't afford to lose another generation?
Right. Well, first of all, really, people need to just get involved with their kids. I mean, find a child. Everybody, because every child has family somewhere for the most part.
Right.
So there's somebody in that family that with some structure somewhere in the family. So those people, you know, those people really need to step up, you know. I know it's tough, you know, if everybody has their own kids. A lot of people say, well, I've got my kids through this and I'm ready to really chill out now. But as a race of people,
we really have to do something to save our race. And the children are it. So that's one of the things that I do. But I'm gonna tell you, I'll tell you this part too, right quick. If people really need to get involved with the school system, they really need to get involved with the school system. They need to really get involved. When I say get involved, don't just send your children to school and let them come back in the door and keep sending them in and out the door. You need to visit that school. You need to talk to your kids after they come home from school. Find out what happened during the school. When the kids get kicked out of school, make sure you know why they got kicked out of school. Advocate for your kids because they are really getting kicked out of school at crazy rates. And a lot of them just need somebody to speak up for them.
Well, see, guys,
once you get kicked out of school, man, that's it. I mean,
you're in the pipeline then, Jack. You're in that pipeline because
exactly.
That whole pipeline thing works. Because once you get, I look at this. This really gets deep. I look at things like speeding tickets. There is nothing in this society, it seems, that is fair when it comes to people who are underprivileged. There's nothing fair. Everything affects poor people worse. Everything affects them worse than it affects everybody else. Let's say you're driving down the street and you get a ticket from a camera, and the camera sends you, get thing in the mail is $50. Well, a guy who's making $100,000 a year, man, that's more than a parking ticket. Shoot. Now, that's no more than paying a valet to park his car. But for a family who's on an income, they only bring in a couple of $100 a week, and 50 of those got to go to a ticket. Is that justice? No, it's not. But that's what happens when you have a country that's run by millionaires and
right.
a country who's the president, not only a millionaire, but a crooked millionaire.
Exactly.
So we as people who are in the community, I don't care what color you are or what your financial standing, we have to coalesce around people, the most vulnerable people in our community, our young people, our elderly, the people who've fallen on hard times. And so we have platforms like this radio show. I want everybody to know that this is not about me, Robert, or Curtis, or Joseph, or Leon. This is about providing a tool, another vehicle that we can use to mobilize people, to get people to coalesce around a common cause of economic empowerment, uplifting our community, putting our people to work, saving our children, stopping us from getting shot by the police.
All of
these things are on our agenda. We come on here, we talk about them. We don't just talk about them. We are about them. We are about providing solutions, and we open up our minds and our phones to anybody else who wants to contribute. This is what the Brothers for Real is about.
That's keeping it real.
Yes, sir. Yo.
Talking about keeping it real, you think you need to refer everybody to Chris Fox video?
What's that now?
You think we need to refer everybody to Chris Rock video? You're talking about keeping it real.
Which one is that?
How not to get, going about how not to get your tail kicked by the police.
The crazy. If you haven't, that thing has been around
the
internet
crazy,
now.
Man. It's for real, man. I'm trying to say it's for real.
Anybody wondering what Leon's talking about? Chris Rock did a video about how not to get your head beat by the police. That is really crazy. All right, folks. This is we're gonna wrap up today. This has been real, guys. Guys, I'm gonna give you a chance to go around the table, and we're gonna anything else you want to close up with. This has been a great show. This has been a lot of passion. I'd like to thank the listeners for tuning in. We'll be back next Tuesday at the same time. We do this every week. All of these brothers are busy, and I know you are busy. That's why I appreciate your tuning in. We're doing this because we care about our community, we care about our families, we care about everybody out here who feels like they've been wronged by the system. And we also have a message to the people who are not wrong but have the power to affect change. Look, folks, we're fighting. You folks that are, sometimes people say this is a black-white issue. Well, look, we've been fighting all our lives. We come out the womb fighting. So all the white brothers and sisters out there, if you want to join us and help take some of this burden, we open up our arms to you. You are welcome. We are a big pit, but we're not just here to talk. We need some action. We need some action. We've been fighting. We're getting tired. It's time for you to take some of this burden, take some of this weight, and go out here and fight.
Amen.
Curtis,
amen.
Finish up. What's your final word there, Curtis?
Yes, I want to have my final word. It's kind of like to be an announcement, especially since I have my dear brother Leon on the phone. We have been working together. I spoke a minute ago about Justice Ministration, Jesus Uniting Souls to increase community engagement. And we meet the third Sunday of each month at 3 o'clock at the Mighty Holler Center where Leon is. We're just starting to get a beautiful foundation of people coming out. And it's interesting how you spoke about how whites and other races need to be involved. Last time we met, we had a white couple that came all the way from Moore County to be with us. And they're starting to, I'm seeing them discuss on Facebook about coming from either even farther distances, distant love coming together. And I also teach at the center and letting people know that you don't have to be an old Uncle Tom sellout to have white friends. We have white people and other people of other races who respect you more when you stand for something. Even Jesus didn't want somebody who was lukewarm. He said, you make me throw up. You make me vomit. So I want you to know that we are standing for justice. We are standing where we are. We're having people of all races who are starting to pay attention. And people know that it's time for people to stand for something.
All right. Curtis, I appreciate you doing that, brother. That is. I'm lacking words because I know the passion you bring to your platform, and for Leon to actually partner with you on this and make his facility available.
That is dynamic. And Daniel. Daniel comes and does music.
And Daniel.
I mean, we're getting it ready for you, Robert. So we have a continuous platform for the Gatewood Brothers. So it's coming. So y'all just know that God is good.
Amen, brother. Leon.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing that Curtis is doing at the Holler Center. I appreciate him choosing that place to do it. And I want to say two things right quick, Robert. First of all, I spent too long on the phone today with a technical person from Apple because my Mac has pop-ups and viruses. And people told me Macs didn't get viruses. And, so spent too much time on the phone with that guy. And what I just want to tell people is, the guy warned me, you already know this, Robert. Is when you get those viruses, you need to kill them right away because these people have found ways to get into your computers and find ways to pull your information out. I mean, it was crazy, man. It was the craziest mess I ever experienced. And I still don't have it fixed, but we're trying to work to get that straight. But I just want to remind everybody also, Robert, that it's Giving Tuesday. Holler's a 501c3 nonprofit and working in the community. So it's Giving Tuesday. So one thing you have to do to give to the organization is log on to www.holla.ws and click on the donation tab. You can go with money goes straight to the bank and help us support our mission.
Amen.
All right.
Robert, I need to give a shout out to my wife, Robert. My wife has had to drive the entire way back from Harney County so that I could participate. And that is just one example of how she just stands in and help to fill in the blanks and help to provide the platform for me to be able to do God's work. So I just want to send a shout out to my wife, Odessa Burnett Gatewood.
Amen. All right. Bless her heart. God is good. All right, folks, we're going to wrap up another show. I'd like to thank Curtis and Leon and to you, the listeners. This show is not possible without your participation. We accept all support. If you want to support the show, you can go to Brothers For Real down at the bottom. There's a little spot there. You can drop in a coin, and we call that the collection plate. And that goes towards preparing for the platform and all the other things it takes to bring this show to the airwaves. And we will be expanding. This is actually just the beginning of a big movement. And like I said, we're not just trying to make this a brothers thing. We are brothers just because we are in proximity and age and we have the same parents. But at no time do we feel like we can do this by ourselves. We invite you to join us, to call us, to support us, spread the word. Join us on Facebook. You can join us on Twitter. You can also join us on Instagram. And we do this every Tuesday. We have not missed a Tuesday. This is actually the seventh show. And next week will be show number 8. In the meantime, go out here and do something. Don't get too caught up in this into this holiday madness. Also, if you young ladies out there, when you're going to those counters, beware of those lipstick samples. There's finding out there's a lot of germs out there floating around, so you want to be careful with that. And all these folks that are buying these guns, I say this. If this is to my brothers and sisters, get race war out of your head.
Wow.
That's not a game. That's not a game that we can't win that fight. But what we can do, we can win with education, with economics, with love, with the Spirit of God, supporting each other. We have to fight this battle on our own turf. And so they can buy up all the guns they want to. They got a big head start. I believe everybody has the right to protect them or herself. If you have a gun, hey, that's your thing. But let's forget about trying to win a gun battle. That's just not going to happen. We have to find ways that we can win. And that doesn't mean, like I said, that doesn't mean be weak or capitulate to people. That just means we have to fight this battle on our own front and our own terms. I'm Robert Gate, but I'd like to thank Leon Curtis and all the listeners. We'll be back next week. Brothers for Real, go support us on the website. Go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we will see you next week.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
I know. God bless you.
She's a whiz around the house. Neat as a pin. If I got a hole in my sock, got a hole in my shirt, sweet thing she'll mend. No more staying out late for me. No more narrow escape. I'll be the turning point, Lord, 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 in my life. Yeah. Show love. Sweet thing. Oh, I love you. No more. I reached the turning point, door, 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 in my life. See, I don't know where I would end up if that sweet thing hadn't come along. Said that sweet thing hadn't come along. Said I might have been locked up. That sweet thing and come along. That I might have been insane out of my mind. That sweet thing and come along. Said that sweet thing and come along. Look, that I might have been down on skid row. I don't know. That sweet thing and come along. Love.